Everyone, I hung out with Fatty IRL. We went to dinner. We had, he had some hard kombucha. It was very hard. It was triggeringly, delightfully smelling.
No, sorry, that's not very nice of me, is it?
Oh no, I'm around it all the time. I'm strong enough to do it. I was, you know, what was more triggering were the massive bowling alley beers I was around on Saturday night. Holy shit. I wanted a half gallon of shitty beer in a stein.
God, just give me 15 Rainiers, please.
Oh, please. Just a key and the courage to do what's right.
Remember when we used to take fucking like beer, and I wasn't involved in these as much as you were, but we used to take beer bongs. We'd cram like 9 of us in our bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
We'd all get in the bathtub. That was Johnny's thing for sure.
That's right. We would be like, yeah, we would all, yeah, Justin wouldn't be, but we would all be like 10 beers in, and then it would just be like, God, I totally fucking forgot about that, Justin. Thank you.
I'd shotgun like one natty and be like, oh, dude, I'm going to die. And now I'm just like, where's my bottle of whiskey?
Well, to be truthful, you would still die if you shotgunned a natty, right?
Fair. That's probably true.
I don't care how much whiskey you drink. Do you know what my mom? So I was in Seattle hanging out with Fatty because my mom was having surgery, and I was like, "Mom, what do you want? What are you craving?" She said, "I'm craving barbecue ribs and Milwaukee's best." And her son came through, folks. Sorry, there was something I was gonna add to that whole. We're not talking about any of that tonight. Well, except for we're talking about all of that tonight.
Well, I was really hoping that we were going to have two Jumanji virgins here tonight, but Jeremy bagged out again.
Well, first off, I don't want to grow up, because if I did, I couldn't watch Jumanji in the middle of the afternoon as a 47-year-old man.
You could, but then you'd have to feel a lot worse about the whole situation. It is Robin Williams, so you're like, okay. So obviously, lead us in, man.
So
movies are us, dude.
We watched Jumanji, released the original Jumanji, released in 1995, rated PG, 1 hour and 44 minutes, starring Robin Williams, Kirsten Dunst. What a joy. I had no idea we had a tiny Kirsten Dunst in this movie. That was wonderful.
She's so great.
She's so great. David Alan Grier, like, you take David Alan Grier out of this movie, it's half as watchable as it is. And so, like, and also the director, kind of interesting cat. I haven't done too much. I feel like he might have got, I don't know, something might have happened to him. Joe Johnston, who directed this, he directed quite a few things, and he also directed the first Captain America movie.
Oh, okay.
And then was just kind of put in, it looks like he was put in movie jail. Like, was the first Avenger, like, bad? I don't know why this guy hasn't done 10 awesome films since then. Or another Marvel
No,
movie.
You know what? The first Captain America that was actually quite good. It's just, I think that they started to kind of bury that storyline the further they got along. So they just were kind of like, Ryan Johnson, you.
But you know what he is working on? And I'm not a huge fan of them. I like them. But it's just like, I hate to see something start and unfinished. He is currently in production on the fourth Chronicles of Narnia movie, The Silver Chair. So there is still hopes that
I didn't know that that was a thing.
Might get finished. Like, yeah, they did the.
Was that something that C.S. Lewis wrote, or was that fan fiction?
No, there's five. There's five original Chronicles of Narnia.
Okay. I never read them. It's one of the things I never got to do. I think I was like starting to get to that like level of fantasy, and then Jeremy's like, "Hey, why don't you read these fucking tomes?
Why don't you read a good?"
Like, okay, maybe I'll just read them. You know, every time that I like want to read a book, though, it's like I'm really pissed that all my Wheel of Time books are locked away, because I'll just pick it up and start reading. I'll just grab one. And I've read The Memory of Light, like the last one, like a lot of times. So,
wow, that's awesome. Have you read anything else that he's, I can't think of his name right now, but
not one thing. That's
weird, because you like those last.
Eleanor Rigby. I've not read anything. Oh, or you're talking about Sanderson.
Sanderson. Yeah.
I haven't read anything by Sanderson either.
Because you seem to enjoy the final three books more than any other Wheel of Time fan that I know. So I'm surprised you haven't tried out some of his other tomes.
Some people really love his stuff, but I don't know. I guess for this episode, I'm going to be your Kirsten Dunst. Kirsten?
Kirsten. I know I always say Kirsten, but I think it's Kirsten.
In this, in it's in the spirit of Deadpool, though.
Is she in Deadpool?
No, it's a conversation that he has with Dopinder. I can never not picture you as a young Kirsten Dunst now. Kirsten? Kirsten?
Kirsten. Oh, that's amazing. So yeah, as Justin said, I am a Jumanji virgin. I was trying to figure out why I never saw this movie. And it's because I'm surprised you have. It came out in 1995. And if you were...
I'm going to tell you why I didn't see this movie.
If you were... I think you have...
It looks like this.
Sorry, I'm not looking at your video right now. I'm looking at my pages. What was that? Was that a vagina?
I'll tell you why you didn't see...
Oh.
I was going to say, I'll tell you why you didn't see Jumanji, and it rhymes with vagina.
It rhymes with vagina. Yeah, because if this movie, like, you have to be born 1980 or later for this movie to be in your sweet spot. And I was born in 76. Fatty was born in 77. And I guess this, you, like even like Jason and Linnea probably had already moved up north, and you were just...
No, because I graduated in 96 and this came out in 95. So,
oh, okay. Okay. So you were hanging out with seniors still looking for to kill time.
I might have went and saw this movie like stoned or something, but I don't think I saw this movie till like we lived together. I probably, maybe I had a girlfriend made me watch it. I don't know. Or maybe, I don't know. I don't remember when I first watched it, and I only saw it once.
Yeah. Okay.
I remembered it being a whole lot better than it was. I mean, it's not a bad movie. It's actually a really good movie, and it's done really well, and it's super fun. I remember at one point I was like, oh, this one, you know, it's, I remember thinking like this one was way more intense than the newer Jumanji movies. And I actually really liked the newer Jumanji movies because it starts off with a video game premise.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the characters are the characters from the game, which, you know, you have your like kind of standard four characters and it's these people. And I thought that was pretty fucking cool aspect of that. So, but this movie is intense as fuck at points for sure.
Well, it even starts out, I forget, in the mid 90s, we were still Bambiing kids movies.
Yeah.
Like every kid movie starts with a terrible tragedy, usually one, if not both of the parents died, which both died in this, some kind of an orphan or put upon aunt and uncle are stuck with them. And
that's hilarious.
It's everyone out there. I am the uncle who adopted his nephews because one of their parents died and other things happened. I would never tell them to their face how much they inconvenience my weekend.
Right? It just wouldn't even cross your mind. Oh, it's funny that you said that. I was kind of saying the same thing. I was like, you know, like all good, you know, magical kind of weirdness in movies, starts with some bullies beating up some kid.
Oh,
and the kid steals some shit that he shouldn't have. He steals some shit that he's not supposed to have. And then, you know, the aunt who doesn't want you, or, you know, or it's like highly, you could be like, great, I'm not going to get any dick this weekend. Lilith, you know, she strikes me as such a warm person.
Yeah.
The gal who plays Lilith or whatever Fraser's wife.
It's a surprise that she's single and childless. Like, what a shock.
You know, fucking typecast much.
Dude, and this kid gets beat the fuck. He doesn't get a wedgie. He doesn't get tripped. He doesn't get his lunch money stolen. He gets beat the fuck up by five people.
Yeah, straight like gang style jumped in, dude. Like, just that's it. Like, it's let's go. Insane.
So crazy.
I laughed at like the very first scene. I like guffawed out loud. They're like going to bury the box, and he's like, "Quit being a pussy. It's just a pack of wolves." I'm like, hey, guess what? Back then, a pack of wolves is a serious fucking problem. You guys don't have guns. You have a cart and something that wolves eat. Pulling the cart.
What do you mean, just a pack of wolves?
Maybe put a little pep in your step, kid. That's all I'm saying.
That's your natural enemy on the horizon.
Yeah, they want to eat you, bro. Like, oh man. Do we know if that like was this Jumanji? Was this like an original idea? Was it a comic book or
it was,
you know, a story of some sort? Probably a book, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was a kid's book about.
Was it an actual board game? Is what I'm getting at that we could play? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I think it was a book first, and I'm certain there is a version of the game you can play now. But yeah, I did a little research on it now. Of course, I'm.
Well, there's a Jumanji video game, you know, so.
After 95, or did they put out a new one now?
New one.
Okay.
Basically got The Rock, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black, like it's their likenesses in the, it's fairly newish. But
yeah, well, the movies are pretty new.
Yeah. And I honestly, you know, I want to see the new one, because after watching this one, it really kind of wet my whistle, because I did really enjoy the one that was they made recently, like I said, because it's got a video game vibe to it. One of their little like shaman that kind of leads them around is an NPC. And like, if you don't ask the right question, he just like repeats his line to them, yeah. You know, until they get the question right. And then they're like, oh, okay. And then he gives them the information. I was like, that's so great. How many times have you just been like, come on, just give me the fucking answer.
Maybe you should go to the mountaintop.
Speaking of which, I got a Baldur's Gate story at the end of the game. Like, it's not a story, but it's just,
maybe you should go to the top of the mountain at midnight.
Yeah. I think the princess is in another castle.
Yeah, I watched that movie kind of late. Kelly and Cormac started watching it, and then I stumbled into the room at some point and enjoyed it. And I haven't gotten around to where we started. So Jumanji is a 1981 fantasy children's book written and illustrated by Chris Van Allsburg. The book is about an enchanted board game that implements wild animals and other jungle elements as the game is played in real life. The book was adapted in 1995. The name Jumanji is Zulu word meaning many effects, referring to the exciting consequences of the game, which include the unleashing of wild monkeys, untamed tigers, huge spiders into the world. The board game Jumanji originated in Africa. So it was really shocking to me that not one good thing came out of the board. Like, how come once in a while when you roll the dice, it's not like, here's a sword.
Oh, you found the Lagoon of Paradise and there were chocolates nearby.
Totally. Take a rest.
There were some local tribesmen who invented s'mores and they're making them for you.
Anything.
Like, fuck, just once. You're safe. I'd settle for you're safe.
Yeah, totally. Whew! This one's on bank error in your favor. Did they get punished for rolling too fast at the end? I know we're jumping ahead, but just while we're talking about how the game is played. So when he's falling through the floor and the kid rolls really fast, it says like sometimes you have to go back to complete a task or something.
No, I think that was just like the equivalent of like you have to go to jail in Monopoly, or, you know, you have to lose a turn, or, you know, basically, or you go back five spaces. You know, I think was how I took it. I don't think they got punished. It's just sometimes when you roll the wrong thing and you land on the wrong space, you get some shit.
So they could have just rolled like crazy and just like, because every time a tragedy hit, it took 3 minutes for that tragedy to get to them.
Yeah. So if you just were like, bang, 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 that's what I was saying. One of my notes is like, oh, thanks a lot. You know, whatever was her name, Paula or whatever. Thanks a lot, Sarah, for just not keep rolling until there's a five or an eight. I'd have been back.
Yeah, totally. Like, you saw me disappear. You know, this is fucking real.
You weren't using your listening comprehension, friend.
You were not. But how could, so now if he's gone and, will they just keep skipping his turn? I know we're just making shit up because there's no answers to this.
No. And don't go too far ahead, because I have a fucking not a reveal for you. I'm sure you picked it up, but I'm just going to be like, guess what?
Okay.
But yeah, I'm assuming that she would, it's like, you know, he's suspended in the game until since she's the only player, she could have just kept rolling.
Okay.
But she would have also had to deal with everything that came up until she rolled a five or an eight. So if it was five turns, it could have been really nightmarish, especially for an 11-year-old little girl.
Well, and when he rolled the five or the eight, it didn't just say like you get your co-op partner back. A tragedy hit, and didn't the lion show up and Robin came back? Or was it just congratulations, you get someone in return?
No, say roll the five or an eight at the same. So in rolling the five or an eight, they landed on the lion space, but in rolling the five or the eight, that brought him back.
Right. I was just double checking that it wasn't, like, there was still a tragedy attached to that roll.
Yeah. Yeah. They landed on the space, had to deal with that, but they still had the number roll to. I've been playing a lot of Baldur's Gate, which is Dungeons and Dragons. So I've been brushing up on dice games and how dice rolls work. I love the dad. Don't disrespect your family name. It's like, at least they're rich. My dad would be like that too. I'd be like, dad, we're oil field trash. No one cares.
Because you're a Griswold. Okay.
And that means bend over and I'll show you is what it means.
I have such little attachment to my name. Like, I wanted to combine Kelly and I's when we got married, or just be a trotter. I was like, I will just full on take your name, or we can mix and match. Like, I'm not like dedicated to keeping the McNeese bloodline going.
I could care less too. I don't give a fuck. I told Lisa that we should change both of our names back to her maiden name, Mar.
Totally.
Because I love her dad.
Yeah, just make when you get married out there, just make up a new name. You're a new couple in a new world. I still get, like, Kelly's side of the family is so formal. We still get letters that say Mr. and Mrs. Desmond Paul McNeese.
Oh God.
And it's like, really? That's my wife? My wife is Mrs. Desmond McNeese? Ouch.
Yeah, because that's what that is. Yeah, Lisa still has Russell's last name. And I could care less.
My mom she was a McNeese until she met Dan, and she's still a Miller to this day. Because it's...
Yeah, exactly.
It's a pain.
I also didn't realize, that's one thing I didn't really remember, is that I didn't realize that the kid, you know, disappeared. And they basically said the dad murdered him and cut him up and, you know, hid him in the house. I'm like, God, realize that was so, you know, gnarly. Like, that's wild.
His dad was strict, but he wasn't a fucking killer.
He's like, my dad couldn't even hug me. He's like, he's not going to cut me up.
I love that the soul man invented the Converse basketball shoe.
Yeah, like Air Jordans, basically. Yeah,
totally.
Thought he was going to be like, they have pump technology.
So everything in this movie is really well done, graphics-wise.
Especially for when it was done, right?
The only thing, and it's because they ask too much of them, are the monkeys. The monkeys are not good because they just tried to make them... They're good for their time. But, like, you take the monkeys out of this, the special effects are amazing.
Yeah, those monkeys are like a step above the flying monkeys from Wizard of Oz. They don't look good.
Which is in this movie.
Especially when you get like, yeah, I know. Especially when you get like close-ups of their faces and they're trying to do stuff. It's like, it's funny. Yeah. It's like, and they're like the comic relief kind of.
And the kid looks amazing because it's real effects. There's no digital effects. Like, they fucking...
When he starts like turning into the monkey or whatever.
Yeah.
And what happened? He did that because he tried to cheat, right? He tried to just drop a dice. Because who hasn't ever tried to do that when they really need a roll for, like, when you got to roll doubles to get out of jail on Monopoly?
Oh, totally.
Or some shit like that. You're like, boom. Never works.
How come they didn't show us that? That was such a weird, I don't know. Like, I mean, we figured it out and they put it all in there, but that was a weird omission for us to not see that.
I feel because it takes away from the fact that they're like, oh, he rolled. What was the problem? Then they're going to have to explain it anyway.
You're right.
It's probably something they cut out.
So,
I mean, anyways, that's right.
No, you're right.
First of all, and they're knife wielding monkeys as well. Dude, yeah. When the Scar Lion shows up, I was like, can you imagine that just showing up in your fucking laundry room? Like,
dude, the only thing what made me laugh so hard is there was a couple of cuts in there where they were going back from the boy being a monkey and Robin Williams. And at one point, you see Robin Williams' real hand. It's hairier than the
kid. Than the monkey kid's hands. I wrote that down. I'm like, dude, I always knew he was a hairy ass dude, but I was like, goddamn. You know where he's really hairy? Mork and Mindy. That was the first thing I ever saw him on.
Oh, yeah.
And like, he's fucking genius on that show. They had, I believe the story I heard was 7 language experts. And one of them was like an ESL person, because I don't know if you remember, Mork would talk with his hands too.
I don't remember that.
So that Robin Williams couldn't slip in curse words, because when Mork would be like nanu nanu and shit like that, he would try to find curse words in other languages and try to slip them in, because he would ad lib a lot of that shit. And they had 7 language experts on the set to make sure he didn't slip in curse words.
Oh my God.
Look it up. Mork and Mindy, dude. I was like, that's the most amazing shit ever.
And especially back when you couldn't Google anything.
It's because he was bored. He's like, I'm fucking a bebop alien. I'm going to fucking have some fun.
Well, it's so crazy, too. Like, yeah, you watch rated G movies in the 80s and they're saying Shiza and, you know, shit, I'm trying to think of some Spanish swear words. All of a sudden, my mind is going blank.
Puto, bendejo, something like that.
Yeah, totally. We're just like, whatever. No one knows what that means. We're white. Whatever.
Ah, the days before Google Translate.
Oh, thank God.
I love how when he first shows up, too, he sniffs the kids out when they're hiding in the closet. He's like,
yeah, I wish we had seen just a minute of him in Jumanji.
You know what's funny? I was thinking the same thing. I swear we got at least like 5 or 10 minutes of him like running from the lion in Jumanji. I guess it must be in the house with all the vines and stuff.
Yeah, because at one point he makes a comment like the vine, once the house is all fucking monsooned and covered in greenery, that like that was basically what he was living in for 26 years. And so
he's like, oh, I feel at home now or something like that.
Yeah. He started. I love it, too, when he comes out of Jumanji, like he's obviously wearing plastic leaves around his neck.
Oh, I know. The fucking turtle shell that was like Leonardo's in the Bad Vanilla Ice movie.
This movie was never meant to be in HD. grainy footage only. Like those monkeys probably look amazing on a grainy.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. And then his like oversized suit looking like he's fucking full Patch Adams mode.
And like, it's so weird. It's sometimes this almost like plays like a stage play. Like the way they're stealing the board game back and forth is just like, it's just so staged. And then I take it from you and then chaos and then you take it from me and then chaos and it falls. And they spend so again, you need to, they all know the point. They need to get to the end of this fucking game and this all ends. And they spend so much time getting back to the house to play the game.
Roll the goddamn dice.
Fucking roll it and run and roll it.
Shake them up, shake them up, shake them up, shake them. And, you know, 7-Eleven, that's what we do. Do you ever play craps, man? I thought I was so hard when I was in middle school. We play craps and shit.
You guys play for pennies and shit?
No, we play for money.
Real money. Turn that pocket change into folding money.
Oh, dude, yeah, I turned fucking $2 lunch money into 40 bucks a couple times.
I don't realize. It's one of those games that every time I watch it, I try to figure out what's going on, and it's just so fast. Like, they're just like, I don't know what they're betting on. I don't know who knows who to pay when it's done.
Just go to the casino and throw it and just trust that they're going to not lie to you.
Well, that makes sense because, yeah, the casinos, it's, but like, when you just got
your boy down the street playing craps, he might lie.
Yeah, totally. Just throw it. Need more Fatty, Desmond, and Justin in your life? Head on over to patreon.com/soundsawesome. That's patreon.com/soundsawesome.
Oh God, I'm looking at the plastic leaves right now and the bad, like fucking, I don't know, like giant clamshell or something. I don't know.
And the whole...
One thing I will say...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say the continuity is pretty good in this movie. Like, you know, when he gets out of Jumanji, he starts to read something and he's got one lens of his glasses left after 26 years.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't.
Like, he just has the lens. Both arms are ripped off. The other side's gone. He's just got one lens and he holds it up to read after he gets back from Jumanji. So I thought that was just like a continuity thing that was pretty cool.
Does he wear glasses at any point through the rest of it?
Just when he was a kid.
Okay. And this town is getting fucking decimated. Like, this is not just the game players being rocked. Like, this whole town is getting overrun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is like L.A. riots. People are looting. Yeah. There's a bunch of fucking, like, people are stealing police cars. Well, I guess the monkeys were stealing the police cars. But I think there are people definitely looting. You know, the fucking stampede's running through town, having a good old day. I mean, like, yeah, this town gets fucked up.
Other guy from Jumanji goes and buys a high-powered scoped rifle.
A silenced automatic scope rifle. Pew, 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 pew. Yeah, it ain't no pea shooter, bro.
Fuck no. Like, Robin Williams is the only person who notices he's getting shot at some point because he sees a ricochet off the dirt.
Because that fucking guy's been hunting him for 26 years. Also, did you catch that as the same actor that played the dad?
What? No.
Yeah, look it up.
What?
Look it up right now.
That's so weird.
Van Pelt, the hunter, his name was Van Pelt, and then the dad is Parrish, right?
He was the, was he the, no, that's right, they had an actual exterminator. What? Sorry, but everybody, this podcast is paused.
Ground to a halt. I also was just going to say, you know, Kirsten Dunst is a little fucking Nancy Drew. She figures so much stuff out. And she's quick with the lies. Lilith even tries to call her out when I'm sick of the lies. She's like, well, that wasn't a lie, by the way. Yeah, I told you other lies, but that wasn't.
And they established that early when she makes up how their parents died. And like,
yeah.
And the boy is a mute, but not to her.
Yeah, she'll only talk to the sister for a while, right? I kind of missed the giant mosquitoes a little bit for the first time. Then I realized, like, everyone... Oh, that's another thing. People are getting admitted to the hospital because they're all getting bit by the mosquitoes. And, like, some of them are having... They're like these weird bites, and there's these rashes. And there was something else, too. Like, some people were like, oh, some people were having seizures from them and shit. It's like, this town's getting fucked up. I don't know how many people live in this town, but they're all getting jacked.
It would not go unnoticed if this town just disappeared over.
Right. Just disappeared. People were like, oh, you know that place where that shoe factory was, like in the 70s? Oh, when he goes back to the factory and there's just like someone just kind of squatting there with his dog in a fireplace and no questions asked. It's all good. Like, this is, I guess, so I'm sorry. I guess this is your house now. It's fucking like, all right. And that is the guy who plays Kobayashi. Kaiser Soze's fucking lawyer and Usual Suspects, the guy who's the squatter. There's a lot of people in this movie. The wife or the mom, she's in a ton of shit. I can't remember her name.
Interesting. We might have to do Zathura next. A space adventure, Jumanji. It's a spiritual sequel. That is...
I told you.
Did you say Zathura?
Yeah, Zathura's on the list. I told you it's like a sequel to this. Not really, but kind of.
I'm sorry, everybody. Taking it all in. I'm just so... I'm beside myself that the dad and the hunter are the same person. Like, I mean, I'm not that shocked that I didn't figure it out because that's the kind of shit.
You're usually such a continuity person. How did you not get that?
What's the continuity in it, though?
Just that he's the same guy. Same kind of like character. Like, you stand up and be a man, you know? Take it like a man.
Oh, you're right. That's right, because at the end of the...
Basically, like, you have to accept your fate. When you, what you do about it's up to you, basically.
Yeah. I forget at the end that's how they resolve their thing, is by him just standing up to him and accepting his fear.
And then, you like you were saying, the stage, like, it's like a stage play. Like, when they're in, like this, when they're the sporting goods, like, the paint falls on them and shit. Or they're at Lowe's or whatever.
So, that must mean that whoever gets pulled in there gets chased by their biggest fear. So
I would assume that particular like space is like whatever your biggest fear is. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of them are probably built in, the lion, the monkeys, but that one is your whatever you manifest is going to be, you know.
That is so fucking sorry. Yeah, and then of course, so yeah, Robin Williams is I mean, this is like big in a way. Like, you know, he's got the heart and the social capacity of a 12-year-old.
Yeah, he's you know, basically what, 11 or 12, right? You know, at one point the gal, and she's been in a lot of stuff too. The grown-up actress that plays Sarah, she's been in a lot of stuff too. She's like wanting to kiss him and he's like, no, it was a crocodile, not an alligator. She's like, oh, my bad. And he's just like, because he's, you know, it's a girl who's going to try to touch his penis. Oh, shit.
I love that even 12-year-old Kirsten Dunst is like, what the fuck was that? What a nerd.
I know. What's happening, dude? God, dork. Dude, also, when he tries to drive and he just like fucking wrecks up the LeBaron.
Oh, God. So
she's
amazing.
She's got a nice convertible LeBaron and he just trashes it.
That's John Voight's LeBaron.
What's that?
You don't watch Seinfeld. You don't get that.
No. Oh, my fucking God, dude. Real quick, there's two things, and I guess, you know, probably if you look it up, it's probably there. He makes a reference to, he's like, oh, did the Clampets have a garage sale?
Oh my God, yes.
To Kirsten Dunst. And I'm like, 1969 TV, I was like, was that out then? Like the, you know, the Beverly Hillbillies, was that out in 1969?
It had to.
Was that a TV show then?
It was black and white, so it had to be like...
I mean... I don't know, but I'm just like, okay. I was like, you know, I just am kind of like, I'm not going to look into it that hard, but that was just one thing I wanted to bring up. And there was another reference that he makes. Oh, he makes a reference to Clue.
Yes. Yeah. When they're finally about ready to finish the game, he's like, it's the wrench in the kitchen by the...
Oh, he says it's like a Twilight Zone episode, which I know the Twilight Zone was like probably like the fucking 50s, right? Early 60s.
They had some early. Yeah. The Beverly Hillbillies original run was 62 to 71. So he had plenty of time.
Okay.
And Twilight Zone was like the 50s.
Yeah. That was like an original, like kind of like creepy TV show. That was Hitchcock and stuff too. So I figured it was probably right on, you know, but I was just kind of like, the continuity has been so good in this movie. I figured it was right on, but I was kind of like, that's kind of a weird reference, but okay. Yeah. And I love the little kid at first too. When he finally speaks up, he's like, it's okay to be afraid, but like it's all good. And you know, you could see Robin Williams be like, fuck. Yeah. God damn it.
So they get to the end. They start rolling dice. They finally, like I said, after like,
well, wait, okay. sorry, we're not today. Okay, sorry. Like, I didn't think about how Sarah had to play when they go find her. I'm like, oh, right. They can't go on until they, you know. But then I was like, why did the kids get into the game? Because she rolled once, he rolled once, got sucked in the game, and then she ran off. So it was still the original roll. So anybody could have joined the game at that point if they would have picked it up, right?
And there were four. The kid accidentally got the other two, avatars out.
Yeah, little totems or whatever. I love when he tricks her and she's like, it's your turn. No. And he's like, okay, just give me the dice. And then, oh!
And then she spit rolls them once, put them in your mouth.
Yeah, because her hands are stuck on the floor. I thought that was pretty cool. One of the, watch out for the big yellow flowers. Why? Because they're like the fucking plant in a Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes, exactly.
Which got me on another quick, which is fuck. And you know what? I'm just going to say, Jeremy Ulysses, fuck you for not being here, because I had a whole question about Little Shop of Horrors keyed up, because we used to fucking watch that a lot when we were kids. And he loved Steve Martin's part.
Oh.
Where he was just all, you know, like the fucking just sucking in the nitrous gas and stuff. We used to laugh so hard at that. He's so just for Steve Martin, dude. He loves him. He would make me watch The Jerk and I'd be like, it's kind of funny.
Dude. But
he would just be like, what's the greatest?
That scene in Little Shop of Horrors is one of the greatest scenes in television history. And you know who did it originally, right?
Dude.
In the original?
Bill Murray.
No.
Right?
Jack Nicholson.
Oh, no. Bill Murray was in the chair. Really?
In the original Little Shop of Horrors in like 50s, 60s or something like that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Hey, Des, this is my recording for Jumanji. Hope it sounds okay. It probably doesn't. Hey, guys. Sorry I couldn't be there with you this week. But as the great Jan Hope Park once said,
I had a lot of diarrhea. Yeah. That's what you want to know?
Your manager said you were sick.
Yeah, I had a lot of diarrhea.
Was that funny? Yeah, I had diarrhea, so I couldn't be there. Sorry, couldn't get away from the toilet, guys. But so Jumanji, this show, this movie, came out in 1995. I would have been 18 years old, a senior in high school. So I was outside the demo, as you would say. So I didn't see it when it first came out, and I haven't seen it since. I had a weird relationship with this movie because it took me a while. It took me a few starts and stops to watch it. I just couldn't get into it. And usually when we're watching these retro movies, I don't have a problem with it. I just kind of put myself in a retro mindset of like, oh, 1995, I don't know. I just think back and be like, all right, this is a movie of the time. And so, but for some reason, I just couldn't do that. Until it started getting a little more action-y. The part where they start playing the game in the second half starts getting a little bit more interesting. But there's this one scene that really got to me with Robin Williams. And it's the scene where the young boy, I can't remember his name, him and Robin Williams are kind of arguing. And Robin Williams says something to him and clearly hurts his feelings. And then Robin Williams does this thing that he does. It just always blows me away as he softens. He can instantly go into dad mode. And when I saw that, I was just like, oh, yes, that was the Robin Williams that I really miss. This is the guy that and Mrs. Doubtfire and was Jack or a couple of other movies where he can just turn it on. He can go from crazy wild Robin Williams to instantly super dad Robin Williams. And I think that for some reason that got to me. I think we missed out on a second half of Robin Williams's career. Maybe he could have gotten a TV show where he could have been, you know, maybe he could have redeemed the title of America's Dad from Bill Cosby, or maybe America's Granddad or something, because he would have probably been in his 60s when that happened. But yeah, it was a decent movie. I can't say it was a great movie, but that really stuck out to me. It makes me miss the great Robin Williams. I don't know what we're going with this week on how we're going to be measuring these movies, but I'll just put it as a steady right down the middle. All right, guys. Love you both. Take it easy. Doesn't matter what Justin said. He was wrong.
But that got me on a whole thing. It's like, what if it was Robin Williams who played the part of Seymour instead of Rick Moranis?
Oh.
I was like, oh, it would have been awesome. Then I was like, no, it wouldn't have been, because Rick Moranis had the nerdiness that Seymour had to have, you know?
Yeah. It would not have been terrible with Robin Williams, but
it wouldn't have been the same.
Yeah.
I like how at one point they're doing something. She's like, I don't want to roll, or they want to do something. And he just like stabs the sword in the ground. Like, no, it's been 26 years. We're not fucking doing this anymore.
My first thought too, I was like, he is way too old to be 30. I don't know why. I just always assume Robin Williams is a lot older than he is, but he was exactly 35 when they made this movie.
It's not that, dude. Go look legit. Okay. Go look up the ages of the cast of Cheers right now, like in their heyday, and look at their ages, bro. They are all, I'd say half of them are the same age or younger than us. And they look like they're in their fucking 60s.
Yeah.
People just looked older in the 80s, bro. They smoked. They didn't give a shit. They worked with fucking lead paint and asbestos. And they said, you know, rub some fucking dirt on it and you'll be all right. Fucking Rhea Perlman looks younger now than she did when she played Carla then.
Totally. I was just editing Barbie before we started recording, and we were talking about how great Rhea Perlman looks now.
It's insane. Moisturize, motherfuckers. Moisturize. That's all I have to say. That is your tip of the day. Your hot tip of the day. If you don't want to grow up,
moisturize.
Fucking moisturize. My daughter is in real talk. My daughter is in esthetician school right now. And I have these things. They're called Millie or whatever. They're like, I thought they're like zits, but they're like hard skin deposits or whatever. She gave me some shit. I started scrubbing my face.
Gone.
Just moisturize. Scrub your face. Moisturize. You'll be all right.
Take care of yourself. It's the only body you got, people. Eat protein, work out, and moisturize.
Exactly. That Van Pelt dude is like the fucking Terminator too. He does not stop, especially with once he gets his fucking high-powered rifle, dude.
Yeah, I know this isn't that movie, but at what point do you start fighting back instead of just...
Yeah, just, I will just... What if I kill you? Do I win then? I'll take your gun.
This movie is part The Most Dangerous Game. Like, it's like Robin Williams is one screenplay away from being Ice-T.
Hey, real talk. Okay, Most Dangerous Game. Get your pen out. I want to see you write this down.
Is it a movie for us to watch? Okay, hold on.
Not even for the show. I mean, we could watch it for this, but you got to write it down. It's called The Hunt.
Oh, yeah. Is that the show?
No. It's a movie that I watch. It's got the main chick in it. She's like kind of autistic acting in the show. But it's got all these famous people in it. It's got Emma Roberts and Ike Barinholtz and all these other people. And it's sort of like that. You know, it starts off and they're getting hunted or whatever. But like the whole it's first of all, a dark comedy, 100%. You will laugh your fucking tits off the entire fucking movie.
I think this might have accidentally played the other day. Because when I edit, I've always got shit going on in the background. And I feel like...
It's legit one of my favorite newer movies that I've seen in the last 5 years. It's so good. I've watched it like 5 times.
At some point, I think it just rolled over into this. Oh!
That's hilarious.
Yeah, this is the one where Ike Barinholtz is in a... Yeah! Holy fuck! I totally accidentally... Like, I didn't watch it because I didn't have the volume on.
It's so good.
But at some point, I looked up and I saw Ike Barinholtz in a bodega... Like, what fucking year is it? What fucking year is it?
All right, I'm going to fucking sell you on this. That bodega.
Oh, my God. Everybody, I just cut that out. Everybody out there, I just cut that out because I don't want to spoil you guys. But go watch The Hunt along with me. And we might, if there's time issues, you might have to head on over to Time Pop, the time travel movie podcast.
It is so good.
Or check out our Patreon. It's probably not officially time travel. We'll just put it in our mindfuck Patreon episode. So if Robin Williams, if they leave Robin Williams alone, does he just fall through the floor and land in the basement?
Oh, shit. That's a great question. It's not that big of a deal. I'll just go downstairs.
Go down and catch
him. Oh, God. I'm assuming that it's like real until, you know, until it hardened, you know, and then he's there. But,
that's my guess. Was that, yeah, when it hardens, it goes back to, because she puts her hands deep in there. And if she would have put her hands that deep, she would have been like, wait, I feel the foyer.
Air. I feel French fries in the dining room. What's happening? Dude, does the, when he's like wrestling the croc for, I mean, it gives me Croc Hunter vibes, but like, did you play Pitfall much when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's, I don't know. It's huge Pitfall vibes for me. I'm not sure why, but.
It's just, yeah, 1990s crocodiles. Like, what else are you going to think of?
I also shouted like crikey like 4 times while it was happening. Idiot, right? yeah, though I have written down when she tries to kiss him. Oh, he don't know how to neck.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
No, I just wrote that down.
Oh, that's what you wrote.
Yeah. I'm like, because it's like, okay, it's the 60s. He don't know how to nap.
Hey, everybody out there, Jumanji is not a kissing book.
It's not. Fred Savage isn't even in it. It's not kissing. Dude, and you know what? I'm sorry. I would be like, for the most of the game, I'd be like, cool. But when them big spiders come, I'd be like, I quit.
Like, why are you not armed to the teeth by this time? They keep on rolling the dice with empty hands.
The kid MacGyvered some like fucking canoe thing to get rid of the one guy. You guys couldn't like fucking like makeshift a flamethrower or something out of the garage. They're rich people.
They were at the save and save. Like, grab a baseball bat. I don't care. That was the funniest thing I saw too. When he says, go out to the back. That's where my dad keeps the axe. And then the shed is locked. So he picks up an axe to try to break into the shed, and then he goes, oh wait,
to get the axe. Yeah, like, I didn't catch that. That's hilarious.
It was so brilliant. That was this movie's got some funny parts, but that was the most like directly. I feel like this movie, like you talk about continuity, like this movie had to be filmed in order because they fucked this house up. There's no way they can unfuck this house and go back and reshoot something from yesterday.
Because there's definitely some like practical effects. And when they had it all like vined up and stuff, that wasn't like CGI'd out. So unless they had like, okay, this is the beginning of the house. And then this is the kind of like half destroyed house. And this is the fully fucking jungled out house. And they did that. But I feel like, you know what? Back in these days, though, they had to shoot these movies kind of contextually in order a lot of times.
Because of the sets, right? Destroying shit, like, and the monkeys throw knives at the beginning, and you see like halfway through the movie those knives are still in the wall. Just so great,
they're still in the wall. Those are the things that I thought were really great about this movie, is the continuity stuff. It's like, you know, stuff sticks around until the game's over.
Oh, and when the boy's super sad, and Robin Williams is trying to console him, and he's just like,
it's okay to be afraid. Gives him a hug. He's like, no, my tail.
He doesn't say anything. He just leans in like, oh, fuck.
I have a tremendous erection and I don't know how to get rid of it. Totally. I thought he pooped his pants.
Or maybe he just really had to pee. And he's just like, it's okay. Like, the girls know everyone.
So, I mean, I'm pretty much to the end. So I don't really got much else to say. I got one thing. Oh, dude. So Kirsten Dunst as a kid, acting with practical effects and some CGI, going all the way to Spider-Man. Like,
yeah.
What a difference, right? I mean, think about that for 1 second.
Yeah.
She's all grown up now, obviously, but like, dude, where she started, this is one of her first movies and it has some serious effects in it. So,
yeah.
You know, interesting.
Very cool. Good point.
Are we going to? I don't have anything else to say except one thing at the end, and I want to save it to see. I'm sure you're going to say it first. But.
So as everyone out there, I've already mentioned it 3 times in this podcast. I mentioned it 100 times in all of our podcasts. I watch a lot of time travel movies. This
is a time travel movie.
No, it's, I mean, yes, but it's not every.
It's not a time travel movie. It just has an element to it.
Everything that, one thing we say on Time Bop all the time, everything that happened has happened, has happened. So if all of this has happened, then there is an alternate universe where everyone moves forward, because there's no way that 26 years of existence just vanishes because of one little boy.
Yeah. And that it comes out the exact same way. And then they find them in the future with their parents before they die. And, you know, because that's another thing at the end. They're like, oh, we can't wait to meet them. And then the parents are like, we're going to go away for a ski weekend. And they're just like, no,
no.
Because it's like, okay, so that's a lot of times when time travel stuff comes up, not that this is the podcast to get into it on, but
it is, because we watch this movie, like, we,
things start to change, right? Like, as you go back through it, you know, the butterfly effect, not everything happens the same. So it's like, if they're fated to die, if they're fated for that, it doesn't matter if he stays home to work or goes on that ski vacation, you know, someone's going to crash a plane to his house or some shit, you know, or he's going to get a home invasion, and they're going to die no matter what, because that's what's supposed to happen.
The fact that the Soul Man invents the shoe that will take us through the 80s and 90s creates an alternate timeline. I mean, Michael Jordan is not Air Jordan. Like, he might be a great basketball player and he might be awesome, but he's Michael Jordan and these are his fucking shoes.
These are his Paris ones.
Seriously. Oh. So yeah, and like you said, it's just like if Kirsten's dad nuts 2 seconds later, Kirsten doesn't look like Kirsten. Like,
yeah.
It's
Hayden Christensen. That's how that works.
Hayden Chris Dunst.
Hayden Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, and like you said, everything turns into everything turns into Final Destination at some point. You know, if the parents don't go on the ski trip.
There's a podcast. Start turning every single movie into Final Destination. Bambi, Final Destination.
Final
Barbie.
Oh,
Final Destination.
Mom doesn't. Barbie's mom. Barbie's mom doesn't get shot in the forest.
Barbie's mom dies in a forest fire. Barbie didn't have a mom, I think. Nope, wrong movie.
So yeah,
bad premise.
Everything's happy. We go back 26 years. He tells his dad that he loves him because, of course, the movie started with the last thing he said to his dad was "Go fuck yourself." And so now he gets a chance to make that right. And now he lives this whole 26 years. His parents went crazy because they were blamed with his death.
Yeah, they fucking got accused of his murder.
Where is
that old chestnut?
Where is, I keep forgetting the other kid's name. Where is Judy, Kirsten Dunst, and Peter Bradley Pierce? Like, where is aunt? Where's the auntie? Like, is she like happily married in South Dakota, or is she just a bitter old hag?
Nope.
Because she doesn't have any kids.
She's got 17 cats. Her house smells like mothballs and old shoes and litter boxes.
So I'll hold my official wrap up. What do you got?
I'm there, man. I'm just gonna, you know, as we get into the end and we're gonna go do our ratings, I will say, if you play any board game, just play it like you're gonna go destroy an entire Dick's Sporting Goods store. And you should probably win. Don't flip the game up. Just, you know.
That's how your son played Monopoly.
No, that's how everyone else played Monopoly with him.
He played like he was gonna take over Dick's Sporting Goods. I just keep imagining Genghis Khan in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure right now.
It's my son dressed up. Now I'm imagining my son dressed up as Genghis Khan, just whooping the shit out of everybody at Monopoly. Just like, ha 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 ha. Pay me your rent for Baltic Avenue, son of a bitch.
Ha ha ha. So, yeah, Justin was working up to this episode. Justin talked very highly of it, and I assumed he watched it at 15 or 16, which is speaking of time travel, is impossible. The earliest he could have watched this movie was 17, and it sounds like he watched it later than that. I watched it for the first time ever as a 47-year-old man, and that definitely colors my experience of this movie. Like,
yeah, watching it again, I would agree.
It's full of great actors. Like, you put these actors in a room, they're going to pull off good performances, great stuff, but it's just... It's not even 1995. It's so 1982. Like, just with the...
Really? You think even in the parlance of the times, like, you don't feel like it was kind of a unique idea?
Just the way that, like, everyone is so fucked. Like, the kids have dead parents, and the aunt is terrible, and Robin Williams is trapped in the never-ending story for 26 years.
God damn it. I wrote down, it's like the never-ending story, 1995.
Yes!
I'm not joking. When I wrote down the whole thing with like, oh, it's like any good magical movie. The bullies beat the shit out of the nerd kid. He steals something. I was thinking of the book that the kid steals, A Never-Ending Story. And then I was like, oh, yeah, it's like, you know, the basis of the never-ending story, you know, in certain ways. It's just like...
The thievery, like, it's just like, yeah, this... I
no horses died in this. Thank God for that, Des.
Yeah, nothing died in this. Did they kill? They didn't even kill a spider. They kill a giant mosquito. They shoot everything away, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The only thing that almost dies is Robin Williams' attempted murder. That's all. No animals, just people.
Man, again,
it was the 90s.
Again, just like,
it's fine.
And
dude, when they sell him the gun, there's a waiting period, and or not, we could just, and he like says his wife and shuts the door to close. You didn't get
drops
this for
a handful of gold. In 95, you could definitely get around the fucking,
You were never here.
That's the...
Oh, computers can't figure it out, bro. I don't know.
Oh, I'll fill this. Yeah. Could you fill this out for you? I got that.
You know what? I'll fill it out. I'll fill it out for you. It's fine. That's legit how it was. I'll fill it out for you. It's fine.
Don't worry about it. Just give me the gold.
John Smith.
Big. I was bummed just because I wanted to see that wherever the fuck he comes from, like, I guess somewhere in the 1800s. I wanted to see him with a Gatling gun. I wanted to see him just... like, yeah. I wanted him to pull the trigger on an Uzi just once, just to be like, whoa. All right. Rating time for Jumanji. I found, just because it had the word jum in it, I couldn't find a Jumanji. So as you guys know, we rate these movies on random. Eventually, we might settle into a specific video game rating system that we like. But video game systems have difficulty settings that are sometimes fun. And this is a video game called Aerobiz Supersonic. And
no,
have you played it?
No, I'm just stuck on the jum thing because you know what jum is? It's a breakfast drink, right? You know it?
No.
Gin and rum.
Oh.
The janitor and Scrubs. Jum.
No, I think you're making that up, Grandpa.
No, he's like, have you been? He's like, dude, have you been drinking? He's like, not drunk. And he's like, what are you drinking? He's like, jum, gin, rum. It's a breakfast drink.
I just keep thinking of pineapple. I keep thinking of Pog juice, pineapple, orange, guava.
That's good.
The rating systems.
So that was, name it again. Name the game. What was it again? The
Aerobiz Supersonic.
Wow.
The rating systems are so easy to hard. So rating from 1 to 5, glider, prop, jet, jumbo jet, or supersonic.
I'm going to go with Daddy, Can I Play?
If you want to stick with your own rating system, you can. If you're just like, no, you know what? I'm going to just always use.
No, I'll do the rating system too. I'm always going to have, I think that's going to be one of my things. I'm going to have a not opposite rating system that's just dickish. So, no, I'd say, you know, jet, not jumbo jet, say solidly in the middle. It's like you said, watching it again as an adult, it's kind of like, oh man, this wasn't as cool as I remember. Still very, very cool. I still think ahead of its time, I think a very cool idea for when it's happened. I think you will really enjoy Zathura more.
Oh, cool.
It's got a sci-fi factor to it. It's got a space factor to it. And, you know, I'm a little bit more like, if I had to pick if we were in a D&D party, I would definitely be like the druid that's the forest druid that talks to the animals more than you. You definitely would be like that more like sciencey type, you know, astral kind of person, I'd say. So
totally.
You know, I think that you will really enjoy Zathura. It's got
It's got a lost
in space kind of vibe to it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's got a little bit of the Jumanji vibe. It's cool, man. I think Dax Shepard is in it.
I'm not gonna watch it soon because I'm gonna save it for this show. But it's on the list.
Yeah, no, for sure. I can't wait. It's gonna be fun.
And
I think
we'll watch it for the show. I'm gonna go jet also. Like, I kinda wanna go lower, but I would rewatch this.
Yeah.
Like, I will probably, I couldn't watch this. We had a big family thing planned to watch Jumanji this week, and then I went and got sick, so I had to watch it alone yesterday. But I think we've got a family date coming. Or you know what will probably happen is Cormac and I will play some Power Wash Simulator and put Jumanji on in the background.
This is one of those ones too that you catch stuff about it every time. Like I caught stuff about it that like I forgot that, or like, you know, you catch little things like the glasses thing, and that makes it cool. I love movies that have little small touches that make it, you know, much more real to me.
All right, I'm gonna put all of our contact info in now. Would you like more, Justin, Desmond, and Jeremy? I know we just started this Movies R Us project, and you're wondering, oh my gosh, I've listened to all 3 episodes over and over and over again. Where can I get more? Head on over to patreon.com/soundsawesome, where right now $3 is going to get you 10 exclusive episodes. That's right, folks. It's not $3 per episode. It is $3 for the entire library, and you will be in prime position to receive a new exclusive episode every 2 weeks over at patreon.com/soundsawesome. You can also get more of us for free over on the Thank the Light podcast. That is Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. I know you're asking yourself, what the hell is a Wheel of Time? Well, come on over and find out. Maybe you'll be a new Wheel of Time fan. Maybe you'll just continue to be a fan of our shenanigans. If you need yet another way to listen to us, head on over to YouTube at What Sounds Awesome. That is YouTube at What Sounds Awesome, where I am in the process of uploading our entire libraries onto YouTube, which was not hard to do for Movies R Us. All three episodes are there right now. If you have checked out our Patreon and you want to know where you can get more of the other fantastic two people, one of them being me, and Scott Lifton, head on over to the Time Pop, the Time Travel Movie Podcast. We have over 100 episodes free for you to listen to right there. No payment needed. Time Pop, the Time Travel Movie Podcast. And I know what you're thinking. You guys are pretty fun, but there's only so much movie. That's just too much talking about movies and TV shows. I love podcasts. But I have my limit on movie and TV shows. Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com. That is whatsoundsawesome.com, where we have all kinds of podcasts. These podcasts can also be found wherever you find fine free podcasts. But if you want to see what the lineup of the Sounds Awesome Network is, head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com, where we have comedy and spirituality on All the Answers podcast, two fitness and nutrition podcasts. We have Truth Not Trends and That Fitness Couple. You listen to those two podcasts. If you do a tenth of what they recommend, you are going to have a better 2024. Guaranteed. That is a We Mixed It Sounds Awesome Network guarantee. And this just in, along with Movies R Us, we have launched another brand new podcast this 2024 called the Uncensored Pharmacist Podcast. Rachel and Miranda are over there unpacking all of the pharmaceutical, pharmacy aisle, homeopathic information that we just all don't have enough time to research. So head on over there and listen to two great women discuss their knowledge of the medical industry. So once again, we got Movies R Us, which you know all about, Time Pop, Thank the Light, All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, That Fitness Couple, and the Uncensored Pharmacist Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you have any recommendations for this podcast, obviously we're only a couple episodes in, so there's a lot of movies out there on the table that we haven't gotten to. If you would like to bump one of those movies up to the top of the list, send those recommendations to moviesruspod@gmail.com. That is movies, the letter R, us, pod@gmail.com, and tell us what we should discuss sooner than later. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sitting through this. Talk to you soon. What are you playing now? Are you playing anything different? You pick up anything in the last since we recorded?
Oh, yes. And my question to you first is, would you play Jumanji?
No, because there's nothing. If you had just as much of a random shot of getting a lightsaber as you did an earthquake, fuck yes. But there's nothing good in this.
There's no prize except you get to live. There's no prize. It just gets worse and worse until you live or dead or you're dead. Yeah. There's no prize. The prize is you believe in yourself, I guess. I don't need to go get attacked by a lion to believe in myself. I've picked up a shark.
If you die, does the game reset or is everyone fucked forever?
That's a question for the next Jumanji, actually.
There we go.
Because it's a video game based one and there is a part where there's lives involved.
Yes.
Real talk.
Beautiful.
So, you know, after that, I'm playing Baldur's Gate right now.
Oh, yeah.
I got talked into playing it. It's fucking amazing. It's super, super good. It's a little hard to get started at first because I haven't played a real like hardcore.
Oh, that's the character you sent us.
Yeah,
right.
I haven't played a real hardcore RPG for a long time, and it is legit like D&D based rules. So the last game I really played, I don't know if you remembered it. Pretty sure you live with us. Me and Tony used to play the game Summoner.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a crazy game. It was like a game that you play like 50 something hours into it and you think you're about to beat it and you realize some bullshit happens and you're halfway through and you're just like, oh, but it was so good.
And there was no internet back then. So there was no way. I mean, there was, but we weren't on it every day Googling shit about
video
games. Yeah,
the spoiler factor. Yeah. And it was just like, what? I remember me and Tony were like, we beat it. And we're all stoned. And then it's like, haha, nope. You just lost your hand and all your shit. And now you get to go figure out how to put your hand back on and go gather a bunch of crap. We're like, what? But this game is super cool.
Fun. I am playing. I just realized my wife got me a long time ago a portable Super Nintendo, and like,
oh cool,
it takes full size Super Nintendo games.
Okay.
And you can even like plug it into a TV, like if you want to, you can just use it as your Super Nintendo. Because like technology has gotten so amazing, people, that like this whole Super Nintendo is now basically the size of my two hands. And like the only reason it's so big is so that it can have a screen on it and hold the games. Like if it didn't need to have a screen. But anyways, I was like, I got a bunch of random games because when I bought it, I was like, oh, I needed to get this. And I didn't have very good luck finding very good games, but I still bought them because they were 99 cents a piece. And I just realized like, oh, I've been wanting to play Tetris for a while. And I forgot I have an old Super Nintendo Tetris game. So I literally spent today charging it. And so right now when we get off, I'm going to lay in the bed. I'm going to put on some Parks and Rec, and I'm going to play some old school Tetris on my portable Super Nintendo.
That sounds hot as fuck. Jeremy, you better.
I still don't want to grow up.
I don't either. Oh, let me leave you with this. Just remember, it's okay to be afraid, especially because there are things that will haunt you in the night. Awesome sauce.
And then remember the movie Interview with a Vampire?
I don't want to.
When Tom Cruise fed 10-year-old Kirsten Dunst blood for the first time, and she looked up at his smooth, handsome face and said, "I want some more." Oh, pull picture me, a 10-year-old Kirsten Dunst.
I'll never not picture that. But I can't wait to never speak of this as soon as possible.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
No, I'll cut this out of the episode.